Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Game 6 of the NBA Finals coming up on Tuesday. And in that time period, we got to figure out if Giannis Antetokounmpo really is on the cusp of some things that we've never seen before. Right now, we've got to figure out if Chris Paul's got anything left in the tank. And maybe as important as anything, we got to figure out just how buck wild the Deer District is going to be heading into tomorrow night's game. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, you guys see him co-hosting Sports Nation on ESPN Plus. He's kind enough to fill in for Janae Agwumike with us. We got a great hour coming up here. We got to figure out the answer to the age-old question, Bucks in six. Or not. We're going to talk to Sean Evans from Hot Ones that you guys have seen on YouTube, one of the most prominent series on that website.
Legendary.
Here. Gotten some of your favorite entertainers to go and absolutely be outside of their minds, gone off the hot stuff. So excited to talk to Sean in a little bit, but excited to head to the Goodyear Hotline now because, Trev, if we are going to get ready for what's to come in Game 6, then we need to check in on the aforementioned Deer District, and that's where Zora Stevenson comes into play here. She's kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, covers the Bucks for NBC Sports and for Bally Sports Wisconsin. Zora, how you doing?
Doing well. Yeah, I do have an update on the Deer District. It's been like 20 to 25,000 for most of this run. And the team just announced they're expanding it so that 60,000 people can be there if they want to. So,
Oh my God.
Game 6, yes.
So, Zora, give people that have not had the chance to experience a game in that arena, around that area, of just what a phenomenon this has become during this postseason run, because this feels like what we saw erupting in Jurassic Park in Toronto during that 2019 championship run.
Yeah, I can't speak to Jurassic Park when it's at its liveliest because I've not experienced that. But in Milwaukee, it's like you could go on a walk or a run anywhere around the city or even in the suburbs. And not only is it Buck shirts everywhere, but people are just talking about the team constantly. And then you go like towards the arena and it's just lively. And once it's like a game day, it's just people. You would think it was a concert out there. Like, that's what it looks like a concert or a music festival, the way people are, like, slammed together. And then inside the arena, it's a party. So people are just pumped. And I think it's a combination of things, obviously excitement around the Bucks. But then, you know, it's the first time people can just enjoy life in so long and to have it be the hometown team. It's like you want to take it all in and just be present in the moment. So that's what we're seeing at Deer District.
A perfect storm for just insurmountable amounts of energy. Like, that's exactly what it sounds like, Zora. So when it comes to the team itself, what changes have you seen? Like, as they get back home, when it's on the road and they get back in front of that home crowd, the changes in the demeanor for that roster, from role players up to the stars?
Yeah, I mean, the team has been tremendous at home during this playoff run. They've only lost one game at home, and that was to the Hawks in the first game in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think it really is electricity. I think it's the comfort of being home. I think it's, you know, being able to use all your resources in the training facility. I think it's so many factors of why this team has been so successful at home. But no doubt, like, the hardest game of the season, the highest stakes are tomorrow. And does being home carry you? Well, that's, you know, what we'll have to find out.
Zora, when you look at this Bucks postseason run, so much of the criticism in the past has been about their inability to translate the dominance from the regular season into the postseason. What have you seen different from this year's team on that regard?
Yeah, I think there's some strategic things in the way that the offense is set up. I think it's personnel. You've got just different weapons on the team this year. And even if it's the same people, they're being used in different ways. You know, somebody that comes to mind for me is Pat Connaughton, you know, averaging double digits and 50% from the 3-point line in this series. And then I think experience plays a role as well. And, you know, they have not been to the finals, this specific group. And frankly, no one on this particular Bucks team has ever been to the finals before, but they've been in different experiences that they can pull on in these moments. They've had high stakes experiences. They've been down in series before and had to come back. And so I think being there before, in a sense of just, you know, being in certain moments before, really does play a role in why you're ready now. So there's both strategic things, personnel, and then life moments previously.
then there's the amount of pressure that is then rested upon Giannis's shoulder has been something to marvel at as well. And he's come through in so many different instances. We've compared him to Shaq with his level of offensive production and defensive playmaking. So how is he still able to have so much fun at the exact same time and just maintain like a jovial mindset?
That's a great question. At the beginning of this season, I could tell something was just different about his demeanor. And I asked him about it in one of the press conferences, and he said he's just taking a different approach, a more joyful approach, a more not too high, not too low, just more neutral. And he was continuously asked about it throughout the season. And, you know, as the playoffs started, he was asked, okay, did it work? And he's like, I don't know if it's going to work. We'll have to see. So there's a couple more games to see, really, if this way of seeing the game of basketball and seeing work really makes a big difference for him. I think the numbers speak to it themselves, and just his production in the playoffs and the way he's producing, right? I mean, his charges are way down, and he's able to facilitate the basketball. Like we talked about, just the setup of the offense is different, and he can attack in more proficient ways. It's just been amazing. But that mentality, it's hard to keep up with all the pressure surrounding you. So good for him for being able to just stay in the moment.
Chenan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Trevor Scales talking to Zora Stevenson here, Bally Sports Wisconsin reporter covering the Milwaukee Bucks on the Goodyear Hotline. And Zora, you mentioned that pressure. A lot of that felt alleviated this offseason when Giannis re-signed that extension with this team. What's the relationship between Giannis and this town, between Giannis and Milwaukee and Wisconsin, what he's been able to forge now over these years?
Milwaukee is his American home. I mean, you have to think about like the fact that this is the only place in the United States that he's been able to really live in and call home. And so he feels a connection here, and he likes that it's simple, and that, you know, he can go out and live the life that he wants to live. So there's definitely a connection. He's talked about how special it would be if he could pull it out in the city that drafted him, in the city that has really looked after him. I mean, there's so many stories, but the one that kind of is told over and over again is early in his career, he would walk to either the practice facility or to games. And one time somebody saw him walking you're Giannis, why are you walking? And gave him a ride. And then he got to where he was going, and team security was like, yeah, you can't do that. You can't just get in like a car and get in a ride from anybody. So that, I just think that speaks to, and of course it all ended up okay. And that just speaks to how this community has really embraced him.
On the flip side of that, there's been like quite a bit of trepidation, I'd say. Maybe that's one, a softer way of putting it. For Coach Bud, there has been a roller coaster of emotions associated with his assessment, I imagine, from just within that town. So how has that roller coaster been throughout the postseason for Coach Bud?
I think at this point, everyone is just like, whether it's the organization or fans, are just so focused on the task at hand, which is this run and game six, that really is all that matters in this moment, right? And whatever business stuff, players, coaches, et cetera, probably won't take place until after the season.
Going to be fascinating to watch for Coach Bud, who has been the subject of all of our ire once this team started playing the way it was capable of. And we'll see if any of that's going to translate over, if he's out of the woods now, as the Bucks are on the cusp of that championship moment coming up on Tuesday night. Zora, we appreciate you giving us some time. We know the Deer District is going to be rocking, so stay safe, enjoy it. We're looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Have a good one.
Awesome stuff from Zora Stevenson, again, Bally Sports Wisconsin reporter covering the Milwaukee Bucks. And Coach Bud's the most interesting part of this, Trev, because I still wonder if deep down in places Bucks fans don't want to talk about at parties, they're a little upset that as they're going to win this championship here, they're going to not be able to get rid of Coach Bud, who at different points has not always acquitted himself well. And I think there's areas where he has rightly gotten credit for the things that he's been able to do, the adjustments that he has made, some of the ways that he's covered pick and roll, all these different things. But it still felt like a guy that had this series ended, or as this season ended, even in the Eastern Conference Finals, might have been shown the door.
As we go down the mental gymnastics of absolving Coach Bud for all the mistakes that result into a championship, I'm reminded of a quote from Bomani Jones, our colleague. He said, "The adjustment of making Drew Holiday guard Chris Paul is good. The fact that it was an adjustment is bad. And that is where we're at, Wicko's butt, and I do not know how to decipher it.
Yep, that is the internal struggle going on. But again, if you're hoisting the Larry O'Brien at the end of the season, you're willing to deal with those problems on the other side of all of this. Chenangle Jr. is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, coming up next, we can check in and ask the question, I think, around one of the biggest stars in the NBA of this season, Chris Paul. Where's he been this postseason, and is there time left to salvage his reputation? Next year on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Game 6 of the NBA Finals coming up tomorrow. And this is one of those weekends that was sort of a grab bag coming off the world of sports, right? You had the Open going on across the pond there. Morikawa ends up hoisting the claret jug there, an exciting moment for him. We had the NBA Finals game Saturday. We don't play again until Tuesday. And unfortunately for the people involved in that, that means that we have to start attacking legacies again in the middle of all this.
That is the only thing that is up for debate right now.
Listen, training camp doesn't start till later this week for a handful of teams that are getting ready to report here. We're getting into more of those as the weeks go along. We'll get into all the division previews and everything that's going on. But, Trev, I will say this NBA Finals has produced a jarring experience in a couple of ways. I think Giannis Antetokounmpo is on his way to what feels like at times the sneakiest Finals MVP ever, because I will look through the course of this game at a guy who is not always going to initiate the offense, a guy who is not always going to have the most well-rounded game, but then I look up at the end and is almost always above 30 points. We saw go back-to-back 40-plus point games for the first time in the finals since Shaq had done it. So there's no question it's been potent, but it's felt a little bit different than normal, the normal dominance of a player attacking that. And on the other side, we had maybe the sneakiest disappearing act of anyone in Chris Paul in the middle of Game 5, because Trev, if you could find him out in the court there for the first three quarters of that game, you're a better man than me. And I just wonder if this is not, unfortunately, going to be the last best chance for Chris Paul at all this.
It feels like it is, right? Like, and it's so crazy, right? At the beginning of the series, when we thought Giannis wasn't even going to play game one, we had thrown out Dynasty potentially with the Suns, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The idea that Chris Paul, wily vet, playing the way that he was, young team surrounding him that is just a bevy of talent themselves, and we were talking dynasty at the start of this thing, and then it didn't help the way that they went out and won those first two games, so it only got ramped up to 100. I just do believe, frankly, that this is one of our last runs that we'll see Chris Paul make, because of the injury bug just seems to catch up to him, and I can't even wholeheartedly say, and with any level of journalistic confidence, say that he is injured by any stretch, but he's also, he's 36, right? Like, we know that much about him. He's been in the game 16 years. We know that much about him. I will flip it, though. Has that worked out to be a benefit for Chris Paul, that we don't attack the idea of him not being able to come up in the clutch? Is it that we're not assigning a level of blame to him? We look at him and say, the injury bug just continues to catch him, and it's not necessarily a direct correlation with him being at fault there. It's just one of those things that we credit to happenstance.
Well, I think part of why it's been discussed maybe less than it would have been going in, because going into this series, it felt like we were putting Chris Paul and Giannis's legacies on the line in the exact same way. I think the Giannis ascent and the Bucks prospect of winning this thing has helped that some. I think Devin Booker, going all the way back to that game that Chris Paul missed because of the COVID protocol, where you get Devin Booker's first triple-double that just happens to be a 40-point triple-double in the postseason, that made us probably start to give more ground to him than we were willing to in the regular season, where we said Chris Paul was the difference. This team was out of the playoffs last year, a bubble darling, and he made them different. Now to the point where, all right, we're maybe putting them on similar footing here, but I look at this and say, if he's not injured, then maybe we've just found empty on the tank, right? Like, maybe for this guy, this is unfortunately just the spot where he becomes what Phillip Rivers was for so many years in the NFL, a Hall of Fame caliber player for Chris Paul, one who's probably going to be regarded even more highly than Phillip Rivers. But unfortunately, just because of the circumstances there, he taps out at a certain level. And 16 years in, I'm hard-pressed to think that in a year where it all aligned for them, where they were out of the bubble early last year, they came back into a season where so many of the teams that made deep runs last year fell by the wayside because of attrition. It just seems like a battle that's going to be hard-pressed for them to win in equal circumstances next year.
It's unbelievable, too. Like, we had the discussion last time I was on with you about, like, the amount of blame that he will shoulder because of the amount of credit that we gave him. And even the blame will be tinged with an understanding of, this man has been in here in the league for so long and had so many wars of attrition on a season-by-season basis just in keeping his body healthy that we're going to be a little bit more understanding of just how the tank ran up on empty before I think anybody wanted it to and anybody had hoped for it to. But it will boil down to just a physical thing more than anything, because we all have the understanding that Chris Paul, top five point guard all time, has the mental capacity to withstand anything. He is an extension of his head coach on the court.
Yeah, and we always looked at the lack of physical ability as kind of a plus side for players as they age, right? Like, that's the first thing you lose. And so if you're a guy that was never as predicated on that to begin with as some of the other peers that you had, maybe that allows you to age a little bit more gracefully. But this is a series where in a lot of ways we're looking out and seeing, man, their spots were bigger just is better. Right now, Drew Holiday happens to be an all-world defender in his own right, who just happens to be a lot more physically dominant when you put him on Chris Paul. That becomes a huge problem. Giannis has presented that issue for this team time and time again. You look all across the board, and you could argue that's been the formula for the last couple of finals when the Lakers went Twin Towers last year in the bubble. And so I don't think we'll be overly damning on Chris Paul. I think by and large, just because, again, we said going into this, we all kind of had that handshake agreement that was like, he's sort of a made man already. Like, he didn't need this finals to necessarily take him to a place that was higher than he's already at right now. And I feel like we still sit here now, even on the cusp of this going as poorly as it could have for him in particular.
Yeah, no, it is going to be a different sort of reception, and the legacy talk will adjust because of just how late he got to this pinnacle and our understanding of to your point, made man, his resume was going to be his resume. The ring was sort of a nice addition to the trophy case for him, but it was more for us being able to receive him and boost him up a little bit more than it was anything about changing how we viewed Chris Paul. There wasn't going to be a massive alteration in that.
Yeah, if anything, it sort of bums you out for the guy. And, like, it's hard to box that in because we've got Giannis on the other side who, by and large, has endeared himself to the world during this finals run. Like, you can't walk on the internet without tripping over a clip of Giannis doing something adorable or endearing or overwhelmingly kind. So it's not like he's losing out to the forces of darkness over on the other side either.
Yeah, the attendants get focused in a positive light over there. So, yeah.
Maybe this will all be something that encourages Chris Paul to finally stop hitting people in the no-no place. During basketball games.
That seems like an inherent trait that I don't know he'll be able to separate himself from.
It's a fair point, but it was worth a shot here. We will get to that in a little bit. Coming up next, though, we'll head back to SEC Media Day, hear what Greg Sankey had to say at the podium that has made waves throughout the day. We will get to that after this word from 5-Hour Energy. All right, guys, did you hit the productivity wall after a particularly big lunch? Can relate. Been eating chicken wings in the hallway all afternoon. Only God can judge me. This is where we let 5-Hour Energy Shots help you leap over that wall instead of crashing into it. With zero sugar and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up. And it's available. Delicious flavors. Watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and more. Go to 5hourenergy.com today. Use the promo code GOLIC. You're going to receive 10% off your order. That's the number 5. OurEnergy.com, promo code GOLIC for 10% off. This offer cannot be used with other promotions, and the code is not applicable on subscription orders. Back after this, Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales. Excited to talk to Sean Evans, host of Hot Ones on YouTube.
Yeah.
Trev, you and I were the beneficiaries of some kindness from the folks at Complex over on the hallways. They sent us some of the wing sauce that they've used on the show there, the season 15 sauces they got put out there. You and I are going to probably try that during the next break at some point and see if we can make our way back here.
Nah,
are you sure?
I'm terrified of this.
Really?
Stuff. Yeah, like, look. Okay, so.
Well, I was going to say, like, Trev, like, you are, like, all things. Like, when I think of, like, Atlanta, one of the things that I think of down there is, like, lemon pepper hot wings, just hot wings in general here. So this is a little surprising.
No. Yeah, there is a certain level that we go to, right? Like, there is no need for me to go out there and punish myself with hot sauce, right? Like, I enjoy hot and spicy things, but only to a certain extent. I'm not trying to be out there with my mouth burning, like snot coming out the nose, crying unintentionally. That's just not a level of Scoville that I'm trying to get to.
So you did not partake in the one chip challenge when pepper chip was going viral?
No, I saw you do it, and I legitimately was like, well, never, nope, not I.
I have never once thought in my life I would arrive to a place where on national morning radio I would wipe my nose with a piece of bread while drinking milk.
Woo.
I was reduced to ash by that thing.
Yeah, see,
that's terrifying.
That's exactly what I'm trying to avoid here. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see the benefit. What do I have to gain from that, Mike?
That's the one thing I kind of want to get into with Sean, because he's now made a living not only getting celebrities to this point, but going there,
right,
with
there with them. Yeah.
And eating the spicy stuff. Like, how do you get to that point where you court this kind of chaos? So we'll talk to Sean in about 5 minutes coming up here on ESPN Radio. Chené and Golic Jr. is brought to you by Capital One, with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts and an app that lets you bank anytime, anywhere. Choosing Capital One is like the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Capital One NA, member FDIC. Trev, we had SEC Media Day getting kickstarted, and Media Days are always this fascinating thing where we're trying to get answers out of coaches who really don't want to give them to us. But one man who was willing to stand up and speak loudly and clearly about this upcoming 2021 football season in the SEC was their commissioner, Greg Sankey, who had this to say when he was asked about how COVID-19 would be treated in the upcoming season, specifically with the way it affects the outcome of games. Listen to this.
You hope not to have disruption, but hope is not a plan, is the great cliche. We still have roster minimums that exist, just like last year. What I've identified for consideration among our membership is we remove those roster minimums, and you're expected to play as scheduled. That means your team needs to be healthy to compete. And if not, that game won't be rescheduled. And thus, to dispose of the game, the forfeit word comes up at this point. That's not a policy, and what you see are the bookends now for decision making. We've not built in the kind of time we did last year, particularly at the end of the season, to accommodate disruption. And unless we're going to do that, our teams are going to have to be fully prepared to play their season as scheduled.
Trev, the more and more I listen to that sound from Greg Sankey, he basically tries to draw the outline of the picture without filling it in so much for people, right? Because there's no more roster minimums, which is a big detail in this conversation about forfeiture on this, but he does say the F word out loud and it doesn't get dumped here. So, Trev, do you think that the SEC would actually go through with this, the idea of making teams forfeit games if they meet some what appears to be arbitrary threshold of health?
Yeah, I would absolutely think so, because again, they're about the money. There's no shying away from that. And if you get in the way of the money, when there are ways for you to not be in the way of the money, you will be punished accordingly, right? Like, I think that's exactly what was laid out there, right? Like, you and I are big tech too, guys. As you mentioned, like the outline sort of parallel. He definitely took the stencil and kind of did that part. We're coming back with the shading next time we ask Greg Sankey about this question and what this policy will actually entail, because he will take away all mystery as far as what is going to happen if you do not meet certain thresholds. Because again, you're getting away in the way of the idea of them being able to proceed with a money-making mission that has been the goal since day one of the pandemic. They knew they had to get to that. And if there are ways for you to avoid it and you're actively going to dissent from that course of action, we have an issue.
And we saw that issue come up last year when there was no vaccine available, and we said that was going to be the factor in figuring out who made it to where they did. You had a team in Ohio State make the national championship almost in spite of how much they had to deal with the ramifications of the virus during that season, the Big Ten coming back and starting early.
Yeah, and Ohio State team that ended up benefiting from the idea of a rule adjustment midseason to kind of say, you know what? Hey, we kind of know what this means for our league. We need to make a caveat, an exception to the rule that we just came up with, frankly, arbitrarily about 3 months ago.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Greg Sankey feels like he's leaving the door open there for is, hey, we don't have any minimum roster threshold, so is it kind of going to be left up to the school to decide what's not enough players to go here? Does the SEC get to have the ultimate ruling on that? Those kind of things are answers that we're going to need to get. We're going to talk to Greg McElroy, former Alabama quarterback, commentator for us at the SEC Network, in about an hour to see if he's got any more of the specifics on the way that this is going to frame the SEC football season. But coming up next, we will see if Trevor is willing to get out of his comfort zone here as we turn up the heat on ESPN Radio. That's coming up next here, Jhené and Golic Jr.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Hoping to talk to Sean Evans, the host of Hot Ones on the First We Feast YouTube channel. And it's one of those things, Trev, where we sit here and we bring people on all the time and interview them here, and you're always trying to find ways to get to know athletes better, to get to know some of the coaches, entertainers, whoever we're talking to. And Sean has uncovered one of the most primal ways, which is adopting that Mike Tyson, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. He just happens to have them get punched in the mouth by the flavor of these wings. And so we are actually going to go to the Goodyear Hotline now. Very excited for this one as we are getting ready to talk to Sean Evans, the host of Hot Ones on the First We Feast YouTube channel here. And Sean, we appreciate you giving us some time here. I know you're a Chicago guy by birth and where you grew up here. I don't think people normally associate heat with the Windy City. So how did you get this inspiration to become a guy that was going to court this kind of chaos with the heat on the wings?
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here. I didn't start off as a hot sauce guy necessarily. It was just our dumb idea as a disruptive element in this interview show. But it does have kind of a little bit of a sports tie-in, I guess. My earliest memory of all of this is, watching Bears games with my dad. And he was a bit of a salsa purist. And I remember at a young age back when, Mike Singletary was playing linebacker, dipping a chip into the spicy salsa, being shocked by how hot it is. And, complaining to my dad, crying to my dad, why don't we have mild salsa? We need something like a little bit more chilled out than this. And he said, not in my house. So I think in a little bit of a way, I guess his being a salsa purist planted the seed for the job that I have now.
That's a way to take your pain and flip it into just an unbelievable amount of clout.
Questionable parenting, but it worked out.
Hey, listen, by any means necessary here, and you made the best of it in that situation. And so now it's led to this, like you said, disrupting the interview format in a way that's pretty incredible and pretty fun to watch. So as you started to get into all of this, for you, when you approach an interview here with somebody and you're getting ready to go, you've researched them, you've gone into the background, how do you gauge the plan that you have versus that moment when all of a sudden the heat becomes too much for somebody?
Well, you can never do it. You can never really predict how somebody is going to react in that environment. So I've completely just, I throw all of that out the window. I write the interview as if there are no wings involved, that there are no hot sauce reactions involved, and just approach it like a traditional interview and then just react with the person kind of when it starts happening. And that's when you can be either, motivational, or somebody, if they're on their way, they look like they're about to tap out, how you can talk them back in the game, how you can just be sort of empathetic and bridge building and just try to keep them in the game until they finish that 10th wing.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Sean Evans, host of Hot Ones here on the Goodyear Hotline. If you've never seen it, Sean and a celebrity guest of his sit down together and go further and further up the Scoville charts of some of the heat on these wing sauces and try and have a, like he said, nuanced conversation, at times very enlightened conversation.
And that's the thing, because look, Sean, I just have one question. You could easily embark upon this interview by sending your guest down the road to hell in Scoville units. But you embark upon this journey with him. What do you have to gain from doing that?
I think what it ends up doing is it, I don't think the show would be the same if we were just, interrogating our guests and there's just a swinging light over them and they're just eating wings by themselves while this YouTuber just barks questions at them. I think part of the reason the show is as good as it is on an interview level is because oftentimes, and you guys know this, when you're doing an interview with somebody, a lot of it really depends on the generosity of the person that you're talking to. So if I'm over there and it doesn't look like I'm doing my job or we're not asking questions that are thoughtful and career spanning, and if I'm not eating the wings right along with them, then who knows if they'll be motivated to then move on down the gauntlet and eat a wing soaked in DeBomb or the last dab. I think part of that is that shared struggle is really kind of the foundation of the show.
I've always said it's the foundation of any great team as you go through it in that shared struggle. And listen, you've had a number of great teammates over the course of this year, some of the biggest athletes, entertainers, celebrities, what have you. When did you know you had something in this format? When did this go from, like you said, what you called a dumb idea to do something disruptive into what's become a phenomenon now?
Well, it happened pretty early on. I think one of our earliest shoots was with Machine Gun Kelly, and I remember he was just running around the studio and sweating and staring and spitting. I could just see the way that the cameras were following him around as he went through this just enormous theatrical episode. I was like, this is so real and it's so outrageous. And I think, even on just a curiosity level, on a morbid curiosity level, I was like, more people need to see this. And the show wasn't very popular early on. We used to joke all the time about how I was eating some of the spiciest wings on the planet and nobody cared. We would joke about that for a while. And then I think the first episode that really kind of broke containment and was trending on YouTube and was on the front page of Reddit was the Key and Peele episode, which was years and years ago, but that's how it kind of broke out of the small little bubble that it was in on the internet, became more of a household situation.
So now we've hit this point where the brand is strong, as Deez and Mira would say, right?
Like, how
excited and how fearful are your guests the moment they set foot in the studio with you, with the understanding of what's getting ready to go down?
Well, I think the show becoming part of the zeitgeist is the best thing that's ever happened to the show, because it is still such a stupid idea on paper. And so early on, there was just a lot of trepidation from guests. Like, is this a good look? Is this something I want to be involved with? And we just had, we just didn't have this sort of, it's going to be an internet event that will draw millions of eyeballs. We didn't have that sell to people. But thankfully, once it's broken containment and has become a little bit more known, especially in the industry, there are so many people that are kind of an industry show in a way. Like a lot of people that come in, like if the guest doesn't know about the show, the studio definitely does. The publicists definitely do. So all of that has made it a much easier sell for us to get, what I think is our greatest accomplishment. Some of the biggest names in entertainment to eat scorching hot chicken wings on YouTube.
And that is a pretty great accomplishment here, and you guys have been able to do that with some of the biggest names. And so I wonder now, you've been doing this for a while, have you already checked your great white buffalo, the one that you've been searching for, off the list, or is there still someone out there that you're looking to get in the studio to eat wings with that you haven't, that you want to manifest right now?
Well, right when we started the show, we were just inundated with requests for Gordon Ramsay right out of the gate in a way that almost made it hard for us to do the show for a while. It would just be every time I put up some picture on Instagram, all the comments, Gordon Ramsay, Gordon Ramsay, Gordon Ramsay, every YouTube comment, Gordon Ramsay. It almost made me feel bad for the episodes that we were releasing, because it was like people didn't care until Gordon Ramsay was on the show. So it was just growing like an albatross around my neck and weighing me down. We finally got Gordon Ramsay on the show. And it's our biggest episode. I think it probably has, something like 90 million or 100 million views on YouTube. It's crazy. It's just like, the internet putting their dream guest and it actually happening. So that was our white buffalo episode. But what I've come to realize is that once you cross one off that list, then fans just give you another one and give you another one and give you another one. So I think right now Keanu Reeves is probably the most requested, just sort of the thing that, you know, when I'm walking through the airport, people are like, when are you getting Keanu Reeves on the show? So I guess, you know, you take down one white buffalo and another one appears. But I think we got our prize fish in Gordon for sure.
Incredible. And if you haven't checked it out, make sure you, if you somehow missed it, Hot Ones on the First We Feast YouTube channel here, hosted by Sean Evans. Sean, we appreciate you being so gracious with your time today. Best of luck with all the forthcoming wings, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Awesome stuff from Sean Evans here. Awesome stuff. The folks at Complex were kind enough to send us some of the sauces here that I'm going to try and eat during the break just because I'm hungry. The Los Calientes barbacoa that, Trev, you're not going to go down.
Nope.
The shared experience. You're not going to do what Sean just talked about with me.
I'm terrified. I'm a wimp. Call me whatever you want to. I'm out.
All right. Well, coming up next, we'll see if we're calling CP3 a wimp on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.